Stay tuned for the Man of God shows with Mr. Man.
I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. I will counsel you and watch over you.
Greetings, brethren, and others that are listening to this radio show. This is Mr. Man. This is segment number 6, and I'd like to begin with reading some scriptures out of the Bible. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 2 Peter 3:3-18. The many years I've been writing and prophesying, teaching in the name of Jesus Christ as an essential part of the ministry God has given me by His Spirit to His church, the preceding passage from 2 Peter has been repeated over and over. It is important to recognize that the word perish in verse 9 foremost speaks of a Christian man or woman's salvation, as spoken in verse 15. The scriptures make it very clear that the destruction of a physical man and his or her physical things being destroyed by God showing his judgment is a secondary outcome. This perishing as a result of a Christian having been already led away with the error of the wicked and having already fallen from their own steadfastness. In the book of the Revelation of St. John the Divine, chapter 18, it says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, speaking of Babylon. For no man buys her merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all thynine wood and all manner of vessels of ivory and all manner of vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men. And the fruits that your soul lusted after are departed from you, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you, and you shall find them no more. Revelation 18:11-14. Your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorceries were all nations deceived. Revelation 18:23c. Your merchants were the great men of the earth. I want to repeat that. By observing these passages, the Lord has made it obvious that it is the merchants of the earth that are completely wrapped up and totally invested in the continuation of Babylon the Great. Indeed, the Lord points out that those men on the earth which became the great men of the earth are her merchants. This strongly shows that in the last days, and as the Apostle John said, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. 1 John 2:18. Those problems that showed themselves while the Apostle John still walked the earth among the Christian brethren was a leaven of error beginning to become manifest in the church. We are now observing this leaven of the world in the church reach its full capacity. As it is with leaven, yeast, mixed in with bread dough, the process of its inflation or puffing up the dough reaches a point it can inflate no further. What follows could only be its collapse. The leaven can do no more. An honest and sincere Christian who loves the truth easily recognizes that the world has reached the point where its error can inflate no further. As the Lord reveals to us in Revelation 18:5, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in his second letter to them, verse 3, chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Here is another clear sign the Lord gave us to watch for, that we might know the times and seasons we as Christians are living in. This is one of those passages. Peter said men wrestle with to their own destruction, that the Apostle Paul had written, or other men of God wrote in the Bible. But it is a sign to us of that little leaven in the church which they discerned then. And God forewarned them to warn all of us who would follow thereafter to be aware of or beware of. The Apostle Paul shows here by the Spirit how that the day will come when this leaven in the church will reach a point it can inflate no further, and in verse 4 of chapter 2 gives the evidence we would see to reveal it. Those who oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. And of course, we Christians now being referred to as God's temple, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians to the Corinthians, we are that temple that that person sits in and shows himself that he is God. Therefore, that person would be a fallen away Christian, or a person who has known God and has chosen not to glorify him as God and was neither thankful. This then is that sign and evidence we were forewarned to look for among the church, that would show us, reveal to us those Christians there that are like that. As the Apostle Peter said, they are led away with the error of the wicked and have fallen from their own steadfastness. 2 Peter 3:17. This is that very thing which occurred in the days of Noah, as well as that which happened in the days of just Lot among the inhabitants of the cities in the valley. We now live at a time in history like unto the days of Noah and just Lot, when once God destroyed the wicked with an overflowing flood and overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with hail, brimstone, and fire. The sign of Babylon, the great sins, have inflated to maximum capacity and reach unto heaven, and the church has also been fully leavened with those called Christian who have been led away with the error of the wicked and have fallen from their own steadfastness. We now see everywhere the evidence the Apostle Paul wrote to the Thessalonians of in chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it can inflate no further. And I'll read the scripture. First Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbers not. Actually, that's 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 3. As we began with those passages from chapter 3, speaking of that day which would come, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, I submit to you that we are living in that time now. And this is that season of which the Lord spoke to the Apostle Peter so long ago. Plutonium, for instance, is a man-made element that had been developed for this specific use. In Revelations, the 13th chapter, verse 13, it says, And it, he, in parentheses, does great wonders so that he, or it, makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, in the Greek interlinear, the word is it and not he, as it is in the King James. So it's not speaking specifically of a man in particular, but it's speaking of a system of error in particular in which men act. This act, in context with the passage in 2 Peter chapter 3, was first manifest, and to date was only manifest with the unleashing of little boy and fat man upon Japan in 1945. This act of making fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. One of the scientists, I believe it was Oppenheimer, who worked on the Manhattan Project that produced this nuclear weaponry, said of it and them, we have now become the destroyer of worlds. Although I do not desire to go into any depth about how this did deceive the whole world into making an image to the beast we now know to be the UN, that is, the end-time catalyst for causing all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of its name. What I wish to emphasize here is this season we are living in, proven by this act of unspeakable destruction revealed in 1945. We live in the only era in history in which mankind has been capable of destruction of the world in an instant and suddenly with a great noise and fervent heat through uranium and plutonium, nuclear weaponry, the nuclear and hydrogen bomb. I'd like to read another passage. And the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God should be fulfilled. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Revelation 17:16-18. I'm not suggesting that Hiroshima and Nagasaki were that great city, or either one of them were, as described above in Scripture. However, they are and were prototypes, as are all the great cities on earth, of ancient Babylon the Great. For those of you who've been able to read what I've written in previous works called Open Letters to the Saints, it will be understood what is meant here. In Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 through 19, it is written, And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the earth, into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts. See Revelations 11:13 and Zechariah 14:4-5. And the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. The work of the Lord in each Christian's heart must convict of sin and righteousness in him, and him alone, by his Holy Spirit. It has been shown many times that a man or a woman who is a Christian can read the scripture their entire life and very little fruit and revelation to show for it. We are living in the time the Apostle Peter spoke of. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, conduct of life, and godliness? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He's talking to Christians. But you be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James chapter 1. It would be to our advantage that we look at what the Merriam-Webster Thesaurus has to say about this word in the above passage called superfluity. The synonym for this is excess and luxury. Let's take a look at the adjective superfluous. It says in the Thesaurus, exceeding what is needed or indispensable. Here are some synonyms for it: excess, extra, surplus, with some related words: unnecessary, unneeded, unwanted, needless, useless, dispensable, non-essential, gratuitous, unasked, uncalled for. And finally, let's look at the contrasting words: critical, crucial, imperative, essential, fundamental, vital, important, notable, noteworthy, with the antonym deficient. In the book of Revelation, chapter 18, verse 3, it says in the second half, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies, the power of her luxury. So here we have direct relation to Babylon the Great, and the verse in James speaking to Christians and the church, this sin called excess and luxury. In Revelation 18, verse 7, the first part, it says, how much she has glorified herself and lived luxuriously. We read then in verse 4 of chapter 18 what the Lord says to Christian, and is said in James 1:21, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. It would be good for you to read this whole chapter. Isn't there something the church has to understand from the Lord that it is obliviously missing? Or oblivious to? Obviously missing? Just by reading again the above definition of superfluous and the section of James chapter 1 it came from, with the above portions out of Revelation 18, the church should get the point about what sins they have become partakers of and often don't acknowledge. It stands to reason that it is impossible to come out of Babylon the Great in all the ways of deliverance the Lord requires and be found of him without spot and blemish, unless first recognizing and acknowledging the superfluity of naughtiness the church has glorified itself in. In this last day world we as Christians are in, but not supposed to be of, and especially the Western industrialized nations, it is obvious that the great men of the earth are merchants, and we live surrounded in the United States by the temptation to excess and luxury. The real danger we Christians have been subjected to is being put to sleep spiritually and forgetting what manner of spiritual man God made Christians to be. So we're back to the point I brought up about the word perish, brought up earlier in this talk, 2 Peter 3:9, and remembering again the fact we are in that season when that falling away first has reached its full manifestation. And again, we find ourselves in that season, it says in 2 Peter 3, when the elements melt with fervent heat and the heavens pass away with a great noise. First evidence, little boy and Batman. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. I'm quoting again out of the Bible. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Revelation 16, 12 through 16. I was born in 1953 when the Korean conflict began and usually is now referred to as the Korean War. This war is still ongoing with a complete standoff that by far outrivals the Western Front stalemate during World War I. The Korean War is the first official and ongoing war fought under the international flag of the United Nations. 1953 was, I believe, when the U.S. had Dwight D. Eisenhower as president. The year that television was invented was, I think, that same year. The United Nations enlisted several countries who voluntarily joined together in the first coalition under that flag to fight the spread of communist imperial power in the region. I remember seeing a poster from that period which featured two people in their own country's uniform, one male and one female, with a United Nations flag flying above them, both of them wearing the blue cap or helmet of the UN with the slogan emblazoned across the poster, "The United Nations wants you." Today, North Korea has acquired nuclear weapons capability and likely exporting it to other nations and even terrorist organizations if they've got the cash. Only recently it was reported on the news that North Korea now likely has up to 3-stage rockets, missiles, that can easily reach South Korea, Japan, Taiwan, the continental United States. It is now thought it is not just coastal U.S. cities these missiles armed with nuclear warheads can reach, but anywhere in the U.S. There is a very great likelihood that this capability North Korea has will be used at some point, somewhere in the world, by North Korea itself. And the same goes for countries like Pakistan. And right now, Iran is looking to complete a nuclear weapon threatening the annihilation of Israel, to bring about their what's called the 12th Imam by causing worldwide cataclysm. It does not seem possible to me that there is a solution to this problem that could ever be considered satisfactory and acceptable. The missile launch capabilities of Iran is unquestionable. Their ability to hit Israel with a nuclear weapon or even various places in Europe and North Africa are fully acknowledged. Israel, of course, has had its own nuclear weapons arsenal for many years, although they deny it. Some estimate they may have as many as 2,000 nuclear weapons of various types and sizes, but I think the average belief is 200. India has nuclear weapons as well as Pakistan. Some say Brazil has nuclear weapons. Some report that Argentina has nuclear weapons. We know Red China has nuclear weapons. Russia has nuclear weapons. Most of the Western European countries, which are now assimilating themselves into the United States of Europe or the Eurozone, have nuclear weapons. 1 month ago, I heard on the news that Egypt is working on building nuclear power plants and eventually going to build nuclear weapons. And now they have the Islamic Brotherhood in charge of the country after Mubarak was taken out of place. Some have speculated it may be very likely Japan has a few nuclear warheads laying around in hidden bunkers. The United States has nuclear weapons and isn't afraid to use them, and they obviously are the only ones who ever have. All of you have probably seen footage of some sort of U.S. the military has taken above ground some sortie. Nuclear weapons test in Nevada or on a small island in the Pacific. You've probably also seen tests on film that were conducted by the former USSR. And with any of these visuals felt as I have, that you're staring at the epitome of evil incarnate being unleashed in the sight of man. They even have the audacity to call them Trinity, his nuclear weapon. Eliphaz the Temanite says in a rebuttal to Job, which did not apply to Job, but does otherwise, the wicked man travails with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor. A dreadful sound is heard in his ears. In prosperity the destroyer shall come upon him. He believes not that he shall return out of darkness, and he is waited for of the sword. Job 15:20-22. Take a look at your Bible concordance and start with the word destroy, and go on through the word destructions. The number of references is just staggering. Then remember what the scientist Oppenheimer said, we have become the destroyer of worlds. And the nations were angry, I'm quoting from the Bible again. And your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should give reward unto your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Revelation 11:18. Those men who rule this world and so steadily declare themselves to us to be wise have totally become fools. When simply looking at the nuclear weapons issue alone, its development and proliferation into so many corners of the world, especially considering there's every possibility that terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda have access or already possess nuclear material or weapons, how could we believe the final consequence is no less than destruction of the world? Indeed, they are wicked children and sons of perditions, fitted for destruction. Think of the meltdown of the nuclear power plant, Chernobyl, in the nation of the Ukraine, and the devastation in its wake over vast areas of Central Europe. The word Chernobyl translated means wormwood. It has been estimated that 3/4 of the landmass of the nation of Belarus that borders the Ukraine and sets only a few miles north of this plant where the meltdown occurred is uninhabitable and incapable of producing non-radioactive food. You can't even burn firewood from trees there because of the high concentrations of radioactivity that would be released. Now, 191 nations have joined the Image of the Beast to try and devise some way of saving the planet for total annihilation from destruction and the destructive mechanism like nuclear weapons or the further meltdown of nuclear plants or biological weapons or chemical weapons. You know they don't have any solutions, and many of them know it too. They concentrate on the flesh, and first of all their own pleasure and self-preservation. But their souls are lost, and their hearts are deceived by the devil, who is the god of their world, the destroyer of the world. We Christians should come out from among them and be separate, not think like them, have no agreement with them, trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and lean not unto our own understanding as they do. Here's another Bible quote, 1 John 2:18-19. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. This unction from the Holy One that we have is what has been circumvented and rejected by those who have or are now falling from their own steadfastness. Christians have to either grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or return to the weak and beggarly elements of the world and the philosophies of men and science, false science. Many of the devices we see unleashed upon the world were researched, designed, and marketed by Christians unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Those they did not help discover and develop, they have often financed and supported in some way, as well as marketing and distributing, and also assimilated into their own lives and personal use. All the while, they've had the unction from the Holy One, warning them and telling them, "Beware, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." But everyone turned to his own way. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. That unction from the Holy One, who knows all things, and causes those children of God who have an obedient ear to know what they need to know about anything, is their salvation. It is the Word of God which has made his abode with them, the Spirit of Christ in them, the hope of glory. The one head over his body, which every Christian is commanded to grow up into, that they be no longer children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and the cunning craftiness of men lying in wait to deceive, is speaking ever and continually to those who are in that one body the selfsame thing. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is yet called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation." Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hebrews 3:12-15 and 4:1-2. The Lord Jesus Christ still leads captivity captive and gives gifts unto men. Israel was captive in the land of Egypt, Hebrews 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 10:1-13, and led by the hand out of that place of idolatry and hard bondage by the Spirit of God. Generations later, Israel was again held captive in the land of Babylon, and God sent them deliverers and again led them by the hand from that place of idolatry and hard bondage by the Spirit of God. Today, if you will hear his voice, once more the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is leading his people out of captivity with a promise of entering into his rest. It is a new exodus the body of Christ is now being called to by the Spirit of Christ. As he says to each Christian by the unction of the Holy One, "Come out of her, my people." As with every exodus God led his nation Israel in, it was proclaimed to all the people by the Holy Spirit. It was not the choice or prerogative of the individual to determine and decide whether or not they wanted to participate or cooperate. Now all these things happen unto them for our example, and they are written for our admonition, but upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Today we, as a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, a holy nation, have no physical man to direct us and follow, as Israel did with Moses and Joshua and Caleb, or Nehemiah and the accompanying prophets of God. We do, each of us, have the unction of the Holy One, Jesus Christ, the righteous branch and true vine. He is speaking to us as one body, saying, "Come out of her, my people." And this sure and certain word to us from God is clear and precise to those who are not frustrating the grace of God and striving with him. This new exodus is foremost a spiritual transformation of our hearts and minds, to liberating our souls from setting our affections on the things of this world and instead on things above. Second of all, we are being called in many and various ways by the Holy Spirit to withdraw ourselves from those things which are not convenient and things which are not expedient. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind what that is. There is a haste and a quickening God is stirring up in Christians to fulfill his will, because the Holy Ghost is reminding them the days are short and the night comes when no man can work. Just think what it must have been like for those preparing to depart from Egypt, and later when that time came to depart from Babylon. Let's exhort one another daily, and today continue in that which we have heard from the Lord, continuing in the confidence which we have received from Him. It is easy to let go of those things the Lord has convinced us of already, especially since we've seen so much time pass between then and now. But there are always Christians who will not let go of a promise being left to us of entering into His rest that has been given us by the Holy Ghost. For all God's people, hundreds of years passed between the time God led Abraham to the promised land and the time Joseph was sent captive to Egypt. A great deal of time passed between the day Joseph was elevated as the second in command in Egypt and the day his father Jacob arrived to dwell there from Canaan. Hundreds of years passed between the time the land of Goshen was set aside for the people of Israel to dwell in at Egypt and the day God raised up Moses in the hierarchy of Egypt as God had raised up Joseph before him. A great number of years passed between the day Moses recognized his calling and election and was escaped from Egypt to the land of Midian and encountered God on the mountain, then to return to Egypt as a deliverer. We all know of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness until the day God raised up Joshua and led the people of Israel across Jordan to defeat the enemies of the Lord in that same land of Canaan God had promised their ancestor Abraham so many long centuries before. There were always those who held fast to their confidence. That entire stretch of history, of a promise being left to them of entering into His rest. They would not let the people forget. From time to time, the Lord sent a new word of encouragement and admonition, as well as continuation through a prophet and a deliverer He would raise up in their congregation. They would be reminded of the word of the Lord He had given them in previous generations and show them the way to continue in those things at the present time. Those who received it mixed the hearing of it with faith. The self-same thing occurred with the passing of time as the Jews of the 10 northern tribes were taken captive by the overthrow of them through the Assyrians, and around 300 years later, the overthrow of Israel, its two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin, by the Babylonian Empire. They were led away in three successive periods as they continued to rebel against Nebuchadnezzar's rule. 70 years would pass until they were first allowed to escape that land and return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and the city as described in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Saviors and deliverers were raised up as usual, reminding them of the promise being left them of entering into God's rest. Some of them always mixed their hearing of it with faith. All those generations passed, many years of hoping and believing what God had revealed to faithful Abraham and sealed as His witness with the birth of Isaac. Then came the glorious appearing of Jesus the Christ and Son of the living God, born of a virgin, announced by angels to the shepherds and magi. Some saw without doubt their deliverance and their rest from God in this man, Jesus the Nazarene, and recognized they now had the very word of God, which God said was Him with them, Emmanuel. He would be the consolation and comfort of Israel to all such as trusted in Him. These people with us have become the children of the Most High, and have become today, as Christians, and the Church of the Living God. And to us are given all the examples of Scripture in those lives lived before us, how that we, upon whom the ends of the world are now come, must take heed, lest we fall. Some of us have been proclaiming without fail to the church how we indeed are living at the end of the ages as prophesied by all the prophets we have record of in the Holy Bible. We have seen the progression of Babylonian captivity overtaking some and the battle it takes to resist the devil in all his wiles and devices in this world to that point that they would flee from us. Our confidence is entirely based in Christ. Promise being left to us of entering into His rest. That rest is not only from our own labors, as God rested from His, foremost a spiritual restfulness and peace by His Spirit in us, through the assurance of being led by the hand from our captivity in Babylon each step of the way. But that rest is also evidenced in our physical lives and activities, revealed by our separation from this world's cares and affections, its traps and its snares. Spiritual obedience in the will of the Lord for us always is followed by a natural physical reaction as a consequence of that obedience. God is certainly revealing to the church what this is and how this is for each individual member of the body of Christ. And as it is done all together by these strangers and pilgrims in the land, it becomes more apparent to all it is one work of the Holy Spirit through the head to all the members of his body, one of another. The Lord is calling forth a new exodus to the deliverance of his people just prior to his wrath and the fierceness of his anger being poured out upon spiritual Babylon the Great in our time. We are looking for the promise of his coming, Jesus Christ returning for those of us at the end of the ages, for any and all of us who endured to the end and have not fallen from our own steadfastness. We are looking for the first resurrection. In Merriam-Webster's Thesaurus, it says this of the words steadfast, steadfastly, steadiness, and steady. Steadfast, synonym, immovable, inflexible, sure, faithful. Related words, unfaltering, unflinching, unquestioning, unwavering. Steadfastly, synonym, see hard. Related words, staunchly, strongly. Steadiness, see stability. Steady, sure. Related words, unswerving, eternal, never-ending, being neither markedly varying nor variable in course or extent. Synonyms, constant, even, stable, unchanging, unfluctuating, uniform, durable, reliable, changeless, fixed, steady going, unflickering, faithful. See Hebrews 3:14. Certainly the days are numbered. Those Christians who are watching will not lose their garments, will not walk naked, their shame will not appear. But we must above and beyond all else listen to his voice today and not harden our hearts. We can all continue to observe and watch the signs of wickedness and the abominations of Babylon on the earth. We can continue to discern and understand the signs of the times all around us in the progression of world government and corrupt technology and policies progressively propelling the world into fulfilling the prophecies of the mark, number, and name of the beast. Yet none of this information and knowledge will do anyone any good unless they listen to his voice today and harden not their hearts. We must continue daily to profess to one another what God is telling us in his body, how we must come out of mystery, Babylon the Great, and ready ourselves together for this new exodus. Here's another quote. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeks wisdom and finds it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understands. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. The heart knows his own bitterness, and a stranger does not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looks well to his going. A wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool rages and is confident. He that is soon angry deals foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Proverbs 14:5-17. Finally, the last quote. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. Let me repeat that. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. to depart from the snares of death. Proverbs 14:26-27. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for listening one more time to The Man Shows, and signing off by saying, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice.
The beginning of wisdom.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One. And the knowledge of the Holy One.